It is Sunday, 19 January already, and we are on the Sunday show with Neil De Beer, the president of the United Independent Movement. Welcome, Neil.
Yeah, very good morning, Chris. Coming from a very different location today, from the beautiful West Coast, Langebaan. I woke up this morning, though, being told that a voice note is making the rounds that I passed away at 10 o'clock last night, and it has gone viral. This is not a hologram. This is not AI. This is Neil De Beer. So I am alive and kicking to the hundreds of people posting on Facebook. Chris, Neil De Beer is by a Levendig. And yeah, beautiful. Chris, and just to tell you, we might as well open another Biz News office in Langebaan, because the amount of people that came to say hello and say they love our show, thank you so much. And to Ilse and Devon from the Eastern Cape, I promise them, you and I will give them a very special shout out. So to everybody, it's good to be back. And at times, Chris, we want to go overseas to see miracle beauty. We don't have to. We have a beautiful country, just bad management.
Wow. Neil, I had not realized that the Sunday show has the power to bring people to life, but welcome back from the dead. Neil, since you do like starting the show with rugby, shall we go to former Springbok coach Peter de Villiers joining former President Jacob Zuma's MKP?
Ja, o snorren, eh? You know, I have a personal relationship with him in the past, when I was with SA Rugby. As many know, I served on the management of the then Springbok Under 21 rugby team for 2004 and 2005. And in 2005, we actually won the World Cup in Argentina. And the coach was no other than Peter de Villiers. And I must tell you, Chris, if you look at him and you only go to stats, one of our better coaches in Springbok rugby, because he went from under 21 coach to Springbok coach. And I had a very personal relationship on his management. And then he joined politics, Chris. Now, we will remember that he went into the good party under Anti-Pact. And then horrifically last year, fell on his own sword because of cases against him and was kicked out of the good party. And pop goes the weasel. 2 days ago, he joins MK. Now, Chris, I don't know what kind of coaching is going to take place there, but it seems that MK is becoming a tyranny of couch potatoes of the people that are rejected by common society. So am I surprised? A little bit. Am I absolutely surprised? No. It is just going to add to the bunch of clowns that are sitting there and are trying to prepare a takeover. So, very surprised. I told Coach Peter one day, I is nie geworried oor jou mond nie, coach. Dis jou back wat pla. So, good luck to him. Good luck to him. And let's see what happens.
While we are on MK, another resignation, the TG has now quit amid party divisions.
Yeah, another one bites the dust. But Chris, can you imagine being the Treasurer General of the Umkhonto we Sizwe party? Either they tell you to count more or they tell you to count less. So I don't think the TG at this moment was the actual TG. That's just my submission. And if I can prophesize, I don't think it will be the last rumbling on the couches and the benches of MK. They are absolutely a wish-wash. They are going through a tyranny of losses and gains. And yeah, another one bites the dust. I think this is not the last one. There will be, in my opinion, as I hear, a couple of additions that are coming in the next months. We are waiting for that one very specific one. You know, the one from the red overall coming to camouflage. Dr. Lozi, he has not spoken out yet, but no surprise if he declares in a month before opening of parliament, he's taking the seat.
But the ANC is also apparently very keen to have him.
Ja, kyk, hulle vry na hom soos die eerste driving wat hy vir Trixie gevat het. En na die tyd vra hulle, wat was die movie? And then you'll say, no idea. Look, they are really rumbling to get to him. And I must tell you, I will not be surprised because, be that as it may, Jelitot overall or not, he is not an uneducated man. He is not a person that you should take lightly in the sense of ideology. He is well-versed. He is well-spoken. I remember in the parliament, he was frequently getting up and laying down quite credible lines. You know, he has a doctorate. He didn't buy it. He has really, really an education. So maybe it wouldn't be bad if he's drawn into the lighter side than the people that sit currently in the dark. So, but he's either apparently, Chris, as the news is, he's either going to go on an academic line, which he will follow because he has that credential, or he is definitely going to join a political party again.
Well, he would be an asset to any party, Neil. Meanwhile, the African National Congress is holding its NEC meeting this weekend. I would imagine that the fate of the Gauteng and KZN PECs are making for heated debate, as is the arrival in style, for want of a better word, at Robben Island of the SG on a yacht, a luxury yacht.
Ja, het gaan lekker. Ja, het gaan lekker, nee. It's going well. I mean, feeding from the trough and your people are eating nothing. This is the continual failure of the bourgeoisie, the top end of the ANC. Now, it's not a critique. This is fact that they just don't get it right. You cannot sit with shoes that cost 25,000 rand, a watch that's 50,000, arrive at certain meetings in rural entities where water is a luxury, with G4, G8, and 12 kind of wagons, all of them over the cost of the 2-3 million. And then the coup de grace, the cherry on the cake, the feki in the pan, is you now go with a private sponsored yacht to an ANC Remembrance Day on Robben Island. Now, I'm talking here in specific about Fikile Haidun Pierre, because this man is a litany of rubbish. Now, I'm going to focus quickly on him, Chris. The way that Fikile, the way that people like Gwede Mentashe, the people, did you notice, Chris, the kind of style of politics that they play? Their style of politics, and when I now tell our audience and I decipher it, they will start listening to him, and this is how they play the game. They play insult politics, Chris. So Fikile Mbalula's style is he goes on television and then he calls that guy a nyanya boy or a tricky man or he insults people. Now, it's only an idiocracy, an idiot, that will go there and not bring a solutions politic but just breaks down everybody in their character. That's him. So when he was asked, why did you not go with a normal Robben Island ferry that was booked and paid for by the ANC to go do this remembrance on an island where Nelson Mandela and the leadership had to chop stone so that you could have freedom? He said, well, you know, the reason was that he had so many other obligations that he had to be given different transport. And then he was asked, this guy that owns this billionaire, that owns this yacht, was it a donation? Was it a gift? And his words were, well, it wasn't a donation, and that's exactly what it was. But just the absolute nonsensical ideology of the imagery. We call things in politics imagery. They're not getting it right. So he's just not getting it right. He got told, but this is now the second time the imagery is wrong. And he just blatantly says, well, you know, it was given to them as access to transport. But I'm telling you, it doesn't run well for the people on the street. Not whatsoever.
Talking about imagery, Neil, with the Zama Zama horror drama coming to an end now, it has also emerged that the Minerals Ministry blew almost 2 million on international travel in 4 months. What do you have to say to Minister Montash?
I don't know. Are they flying in gold embossed jets and staying in lavish castles? I mean, Chris, 1.97 million rand up till book date since being sworn in. That's what now, 6 to 8 or whatever months. Where are they going? I've read the dissection of Gwede Mantashe, who I would like to maybe spend 3-4 minutes on. I don't just want to ask him, how do you spend 132,000 rand for 2 nights of accommodation? Vide, al het jy daar, en wat is bid braai? I mean, 132,000 rand, Chris, on 2 nights accommodation, and the rest of it, he's flying around with 1.8 million rands worth of travel. Now, let's make that into a summary. He flies business class, and he's got 3 or 4 assistants, God knows why. But 1.9 million, that's a lot of money, Chris. And I've traveled, as you know, you've traveled. That's a lot of money for that period of time. And then the question is, when Gwede does travel and meets the people, is he awake? So I want to dig in to Uncle Gwede. Just quickly, if I may.
Yes,
I want
please
to start
do
with the absolute rubbish scenario of the current Stilfontein Zama Zama tragedy. Now, Chris, when people write to us, they say that this is their info session for the week. They get a lot of wrap up the week from us because we call it straight. So here's fact that very few people know. And all of this Zama Zama scenario is currently ending at the door of none other than Gwede Mantashe, because he's the Minister of Minerals and Mining, and he must take this punch. So here it comes. Chris, 1949, Stilfontein mine starts and starts to grow. 1949. And in the year 2030, that mine shuts down. They start to redeploy. They start to regenerate and lay people off. And by 2050, Stilfontein official licensed mine ceased to exist. Not within a month. Zama Zamas, in specifically apparently illegal immigrants from Zimbabwe, entered those mines illegally in 2015, Chris. Government does nothing. Police does nothing. Only in 2018 is there a sporadic investigation, and SAPS enters the fray to remove the Zama Zamas. And this continues to 2020. In 2020, the Zamas go x3 in size. They don't just double up. They 3 times go, and no one takes action. And then, Chris, suddenly, in 2024, August, they launched the new Operation Umlobo, which has now brought us to the point where we are today. Chris, 13 years since 2013, the total destruction and illegal mining was being license fed. They did nothing. So when you look at Gwede, who's absolutely responsible for this, the 78 bodies that they are taking out, the starvation downstairs, the total repairing, the 28 million they are spending on policing, the total destruction of more than 89 billion rands worth of loss to government in revenue in this past 13 years of illegal mining can only be put at the table of the most executive officer, and that's Gwede Mantashe. And can I tell you what's the worst? 2 weeks ago, Minister Ntshunu, the Minister of Police, and Gwede goes to there to go do oversight, and within 30 minutes are booed and chased away by the community. So that's Gwede. So instead of traveling around the world, you better go sit there, get yourself a tent or a gazebo, and sort this out, because it's becoming a human tragedy. And then Chris, 3 nights ago, Gwede sits on a TV show and has to explain what is the success of BEE. That he gets so cornered on the ANC policy of BEE, and he is asked, but is there success in BEE in the past 30 years? Because we don't see it. And he says it's a policy, and policy takes time to get to the bottom ground. Now, I think your brain is at the bottom ground, because BEE, Chris, and you know my stance, is definitely not working. It's a failed implementation. It absolutely only made a few people rich, and the population never got empowered. So I say, scrap BEE and put in NEE, National Economic Empowerment. And he sat there as he was chewing an old Wilson toffee, and he couldn't answer. And I said, embarrassing. This is the chairman of the ANC. So I'm sorry it sounds harsh, but that man, as you can now see, is failing on so many sides, and the things he's failing in, Chris, are critical. These are not small, young things that he is failing.
Quite new. Meanwhile, many secrets from the apartheid era have gone to the grave with former spy chief Neil Barnard. Now, I had my run-ins with him, and you had dealings with him. I will leave it to you to comment.
Dr. Neil Barnard, commonly addressed as Doc. Yeah, Chris, very true. You and I have debated that. We've had our history with Doc. But his books that he has brought out as an author, in many ways, I think he was trying to do what Evie de Klerk was trying to do, I think, in the latter part. And that was to explain their actions, and also to make people understand their character. Now, let me quickly tell you, I can't deny that he was a dynamic thinker in his own right. And what I'm telling you is that he was not a person that you should take up lightly. This was an educated professor. He was a very schooled human being, and he was very, very strategic when he took over at a mere age of nearly 31, not as minister or as head of national intelligence at that stage, Chris, but SOD, Strategische Ontwikkelingsdepartement. And that was apparently set up by Pierre Botha. He was personally chosen, if I'm not misrepresenting facts, because I think at that stage he was at Free State University, where he was lecturing. Can you imagine at that early age being called up to such a position by the Groot Crocodile? And his instruction, in actual fact, was not intelligence at that stage, but was actually to strategically start, and here's the mind-blowing thing, a very, very intense department of gathering intelligence and info for the future planning of democracy and those meetings. And now we know, Chris, fast forward, he then became NI's head of national intelligence and partook then in the first meetings with Nelson Mandela. And that's where we engaged and started to notice this young man. Ruthless, I will add. This human being, you must not be mistaken. He was a ruthless man in the dark side, Chris.
You don't have to tell me that, Neil. And I got the full brunt of it.
Yeah, people will say, what a good man. And, you know, but no, no. When you go to the Nazi era, there were dynamic people in the Nazi party that were incredibly genius, but still were part of a Nazi regime. This man, make no mistake, became the pinnacle strategy in the last dying moments of the National Party in the apartheid era to keep it alive and to defend it. I mean, he sacked directly as NI head on the then State Presidential Security Council. Die Staatsveiligheidsraad. And this man had a huge influence on the then era of where we ended today. But Chris, one thing clear, he has taken a lot of secrets with him to his grave. He stood till the very last keeping those secrets. He did not publish them. And I am afraid that will never come out with him passing away. So he's one of the last stalwarts, you know, in the Pik Botha, F.W. de Klerk, P.W. Botha era, that will be taking so many pieces of paper memorized in their mind of atrocities and things that were done in that era.
Yes. Neil, meanwhile, with the school year starting, the consequences of the Bella Act are becoming clearer. Not so.
Oh, it's rippling. It's like the domino effect. It's coming. And if you look at the scenario, Chris, people mustn't be confused or be detracted about what the media says. I want to give you one horrific statement, which was given by an educator in public regarding the so-called euphoria about the pass rate of last year. I'll start there. No doubt we did great. No doubt the statistics are showing that we raised the bar. But Chris, here's a very, very sad statistic. Do you know that when they took the class of a specific time, 2013 until graduation, that it started with, may I call it, a figure of, let's say, 1.2 million that went in? And did you know that out of the 1.2 million people that went in at start of school, 660,000 were the only ones that graduated? So if you talk about pass rate, it's actually based on the fact of the depletion of the people that entered and did not finish school. Halve that and give that the pass rate, and then think to yourself, Chris, that the pass rate to get to pass school has also gone from a certain percentage to 30%. So when I saw that analysis, it actually was very confusing and it dampened this absolute euphoria. So we have to seriously look at the situation of, is the current school process giving the child enough adequate academic info so that they can go from school to university where the pass rate has not been adapted to the school level? So this is a critical mass scenario. And then I'm not even talking about the fact, Chris, that if a graduate in South Africa in matric at that pass rate has to go overseas with that certificate and find a job. I mean, this is not global standard. This is not internationally what we're doing. And it's actually a disservice. It's not transformation assistant. It's actually killing the child's future. So that's the one thing. We don't have enough schools. So let's fast forward. There's no classrooms for the amount of people that wanted to come in. Our favorite friend, Mr. Lesufi, says that, yes, they recognize that. And here comes the Bella Act, which he is the biggest supporter, promoter. These are his words on SABC. Not one child in this province of Gauteng will be left outside, and due to legislation and the new regulations. We will put them where we find space, and that's his declaration. That sounds Bella to me. And the other shocking thing is a mother writing to a newspaper saying, I wanted to place my child in a school, but 250 people that are not South Africans got the classes first. So here's fire. He's now hout, blitz, flammer, en rook, all together. People that are not in areas taking over schools, people that are not in this country taking schools, the inadequacy of getting enough schools built and classrooms available. And I'm sorry, still today, they have now extended by a week, Chris, the allowance of people still to apply to get to schools. And then I don't even want to go into the next nightmare, and that is the period when people go back to university. Because when you look at universities, at NSFAS, dit is nou waar jy 'n absolute jelly tot twyfel. Dis is 'n gemors. And they know it's coming. And every year, they are caught with pants, shirt, and bra off. Das niks. And what do you do? I mean, how do you say to these people, luister gou-gou, julle moet begin regkom, it's coming. And I'm sorry to tell you, Chris, it's going to be a dismal failure for the students at universities as well. And it's not fair, it's not right, because these young people or the future of our country.
We'll be talking about that again in other Sunday shows, Neil. Thank you for today's, and I'm grateful that you turned up alive. What can I say? The immortal Mr. Neil de Beer, the president of the United Independent Movement, on the Sunday show with Biz News, and I am Christine.
Thanks, Chris, and a great week for all our adamant supporters and viewers. And that don't support us, we'll win you over piece by piece.